Thanks for joining with us at Homilies from Holy Cross. Holy Cross Catholic Church is a parish in Kernersville, North Carolina, within the Diocese of Charlotte. Our podcast is a daily way for us to hear the gospel proclaimed and the word preached. So we're going to dive in and see what God wants to speak to our hearts today.
The Lord be with you
and with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" He replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them. Breaking the bread."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Would she who is to be confirmed please stand? Patricia Lorraine Kitts.
Present.
Thank you. Please be seated. I think this is just a perfect gospel for us to meditate on before we celebrate your confirmation and your first Holy Communion. Because we see that after the resurrection, there's some confusion amongst the disciples. There's this day in which nobody's really sure what's going on. And Christ, little by little, is revealing himself to his apostles and bringing forth these great things. In this knowledge of his resurrection. But notice with these two disciples, it's the same day. And they even tell our Lord, "Have you not heard what's gone on? That this man mighty in word and in deed has been crucified, and that even this very morning, some of the disciples returned to us saying that the body is not there, that there were angels announcing the resurrection." Well, wouldn't they want to stay? But we see them walking and turning their back on Jerusalem and walking away. We see that one of these disciples is Cleopas. We know who Cleopas is. It's Jesus' uncle. Right? Because by the cross were Mary and Mary's sister, the wife of Cleopas. And we know from the early church fathers that two of the sons of Cleopas is one of the apostles, James, and then Simeon, who's another one. James is the first bishop of Jerusalem, and when he is martyred, then Simeon becomes the bishop of Jerusalem. So we know that these are who are called Christ's brothers in scriptures are actually his cousins, because they did not have in Hebrew another word for cousins. And as they're going along the way, what does Christ say to them? Does he upbraid them right away? No, he says, what sort of things are you talking about? He wants to know where their hearts are then as they're going along the way. He doesn't rebuke them for not knowing the scriptures. He rebukes them for not believing. He says, oh, how foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all of the prophets spoke. And then what does he do? He begins with Moses. He goes through all of the prophets and speaks about how the Old Testament speaks of his coming and speaks of his glory. Later on, they speak about going along the way, and they say, were not our hearts burning within us? Well, he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us. Were not our hearts burning within us? And you know, Patty, as we've approached this day for you to become fully a member of the Catholic Church, I can have seen that heart burning within you as you've dwelt on scripture with your sponsor and with your husband, with the RCIA team. And so really it is this preparation through the knowledge and belief in scriptures that when they sit down to the table, what does Christ do? I love how Luke says here, and it happened that while they were at table, like, oh, they just kind of celebrated the Eucharist. It just happened. What does he do? He takes bread. He says the blessing. He breaks it. And he gives it to them. These four actions together are always present in every Eucharistic celebration. And the last time that they would have seen this would have been the Last Supper, where he takes bread, says the blessing, breaks it, and gives it to them. And this is important, that Christ has prepared their hearts through the scripture. And when we come to Mass, it's important that we don't just, you know, check out during the liturgy of the word. Because when we open our hearts, like the disciples did on the road to Emmaus, and we allow Christ to speak to our hearts in the liturgy of the word, then we can more fully participate and recognize Christ, really see him in the Eucharistic celebration. This is so much so that their eyes are open, they've recognized him. But then he just vanishes from their sight. He keeps that hunger going. So that they run back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples. When they return, they say, the Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon. And this goes back to a reading that we read during this week at Mass, which was that Simon says, I'm going fishing, and some of the disciples gather with him. They did not recognize Christ right away, but Simon recognizes him when Christ says, cast your net on the other side, and he pulls in a great number of fish, which happened at the beginning of Christ's public ministry. Christ is veiling himself to their eyes, but he is revealing himself through his actions, so that they will recognize a fulfillment there. Now when Simon comes to the shore, he does not celebrate the Eucharist with Simon Peter. He does share a breakfast of fish. And so we see especially here in the Easter season. The need for us not only to know our faith, to know the scriptures, but the deeper need for us to believe, to be witnesses ourselves to Christ's resurrection, witnesses to how he is present in the world today. Now, Patty, at this moment, you'll be asked to renew your baptismal promises before your confirmation and prayer will be said over you. If that burning heart within you makes you ready, can I ask you to join me at the foot of the altar?
In conclusion, let us go ahead and pray together the St. Michael prayer, as well as the intercessory prayer that the bishop sent to the priest to be prayed during the coronavirus outbreak. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of soul. Amen. Merciful Father, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, St. Roch, and St. Rosalie, deliver us from the current attack and subsequent suffering we are enduring from the coronavirus. May we seek to assist those in need in body or spirit, and ourselves turn away from sin and trust in you. We ask this in the name of the Divine Physician, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.